Luke 15, verses 4 to 7.
Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbours together and says, Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over the one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent.
Now William is going to come and read our second Bible passage, which is Mark chapter 4 at verse 35.
That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was, in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came over, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him."
So I can cut to the chase with the sermon. Let me turn things on their heads and say the application of this sermon is pray for the children of our church. Do all that you can to help with teaching them in the faith. And in order to do that, do all that you can possibly do to know the faith well yourself. Okay? That's the application. But you'd be terribly disappointed if I said that's the end of the sermon. So let me say a few things that I want to just put in headlines almost, or one or two illustrations, just to show you why those are such important truths for you to take home with you. My text is the one that William read for us. They were terrified, the disciples, and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." In the two stories that we had read to us this morning, we see Jesus teaching his disciples. Jesus instructing his disciples. Peter, James, and John, Andrew, Thomas, Bartholomew, and all the rest of the 12, they were in Jesus' Sunday club. They were a lot bigger than you children here this morning. They were grown men. Some of them have been doing big manly jobs for years. Some of them were fishermen. Some of them had lived very strange lives. One had been a freedom fighter, a zealot. Another one had been a government tax inspector. But they were all in Jesus' Sunday club. They were all learning. Jesus taught the apostles, the 12, because through them the church was to be taught. They were to be with him all the days of his earthly ministry, learning, watching, listening, remembering, and learning, so that they could tell others. Do you remember Paul says to Timothy in one of his letters, he says, "Look, find some young men and teach them the things that I have taught you, so that those young men in their turn will be able to teach others." The Church of Jesus Christ is a learning community, an ongoing teaching. Teaching isn't just a little thing we do for a couple of years, a few years in Sunday school, and then, yeah, we've done that, and we just enjoy church. No, we are learners for the whole of our lives. We are all in Jesus' Sunday club. Here's a man you'll never have heard of. Some probably has heard of this man, but I certainly hadn't. Offlo of Sankt Emmeren. Anybody heard of Offlo of Sankt Emmeren? No. Well, he lived about 1,000 years ago. And he said this. I chose it from him because, well, here, this isn't something new. This isn't something that 20th or 21st century evangelical Christians have invented. This is what Christians have always believed. And here was a monk in the middle of Germany 1,000 years ago. And he said this: it is a basic rule of the Christian life that he or she who wants to imitate Christ must continually go on learning. Whoever you are today, if you want to follow Jesus, then you're in a lifelong Sunday club, and a Monday club, and a Tuesday club, and a Wednesday club, and all the rest of it. We are all learners in the school of Jesus Christ. Then the second thing I want to say is that Jesus sets the syllabus. Do you think it was an accident that there was a storm that arose on the lake that day? Well, we know it wasn't an accident because everything is in the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who stilled the storm could have stopped the storm from arising. So, oh, my disciples are tired. Let's just have a nice smooth crossing. But no, Jesus had a reason. Jesus taught them a great lesson. He says to them, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? They needed to learn something about themselves, and they also needed to learn something about Jesus. That's the main point. Because of the storm and what Jesus did in that storm, the disciples moved on a step in their studies. They'd begun saying, you know, this is a great teacher. The earliest encounters, they called him rabbi, teacher. But now they're saying he's not just a teacher. Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Jesus sets the syllabus. The syllabus is wonderfully summed up in these three words. Who is this? That's what Christian education, Sunday club, church preaching, the purpose of all of it is that you should be able to answer that question, that our children should be able to answer that question. Who is this? Who is Jesus? Who is this person who lived so long ago and yet has such power and impact on the world today? It's all about who Jesus is. Jesus sets the syllabus. Not just knowing about him. Oh yeah, Jesus was the Son of God. Jesus was, you know. It's not just about knowing Jesus. It's about loving him. Thomas Chalmers, the leader of the Free Church when it began, said, we must preach the gospel so that people will see God and love him. We must preach the gospel so that people will see God and love him. The purpose of a Sunday club for children and the purpose of church for adults is not just that you should know about Jesus, but that you should love the Lord Jesus Christ. That's Jesus's syllabus. And Jesus bases his syllabus on the whole Bible. He gave us the Bible, the New Testament, Mark's Gospel and so on. Jesus inspired Mark by the Holy Spirit to write all this down so that we could learn. We've got books, four Gospels, telling us of what Jesus did. And all of those are written so that we may believe and have joyful, loving life through Jesus Christ. And Jesus himself said in his great teaching Sermon on the Mount that that's not just applied to the New Testament. The Old Testament is all about him too. Not one jot or tittle of the Old Testament will pass away. We must read the Old Testament in the light of Jesus. But Jesus himself says you need to read the whole Bible. You need to rightly understand the whole of my word. Jesus sets the syllabus. Jesus challenges us and the world. Jesus does things differently. Jesus took the disciples into a storm. He said, well, look, we thought Jesus was our friend. We thought Jesus was coming to give everybody peace. And here he is, whipping up a storm. That's not what we want Jesus to do. Jesus does the unexpected. Jesus is often counterintuitive. And we need to get this across to our children especially. One of the key verses in the Bible, or the sayings of Jesus that's repeated again and again in the Sermon on the Mount, is this: "You have heard it said, but I say unto you." You have heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. If anybody offends you, take them to court and sue their socks off. That's what people say. But Jesus says you must love your enemies. Forgive them. You have heard it said that you mustn't kill somebody. Mustn't murder them. Full stop. That's all your responsibility. But I say unto you that if you hate your brother, you're breaking my law. And so on. Jesus, in those words, was rejecting the prevailing wisdom of Jewish society. "You have heard it said" is a phrase that really means this is what the rabbis teach. This is what the experts teach. This is what you'll hear on Palestinian television, says Jesus, day by day. "You have heard it said, but I tell you." Now, my friends, today, more than ever, but it's always been the case, that Sunday school teaching has to prepare our children to disagree with many aspects of the prevailing culture in which we live. Coming to church on Sunday is constantly saying to, bringing us to hear God's word, saying to us, "You've heard people saying this on TV. You've read this in a blog online. But the Bible says." We need to listen to Jesus and his word, or we will be all swept downstream in the powerful current of unbelief. And give you a couple of examples of that. The Bible can teach those who live in an "I did it my way" society to sing instead, "Oh, how I love your law." We live in an age where people say, "If I feel good about it, why shouldn't I do it?" You have heard it said, but Jesus says, "Walk in the way of my commandments." We live in a greedy, self-gratifying society that says, "You want it, you got it." But Jesus says, "There is a way that seems right and good to a man, but the end of that way is death." We live in a society that teaches our children, "You're wonderful, you can do anything, be self-confident." And we need to adapt that and mold and reshape that so that our children and we ourselves will sing, "I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see." Let me give you one really contemporary example of that. A friend of mine, who doesn't live in Inverness or even in this country, had his 5-year-old daughter come home from school recently and say, "Daddy, when we grow up, can two girls marry each other?" Now, my friend, who's a member in a good church, was nonplussed. How do you answer that question from a 5-year-old? It's in the wind. It's in the... Very wisely, he went to talk to his pastor, who's another friend of mine, and they talked it through. And they agreed, if the little girl asked the question again, what he would answer. And sure enough, sometime later, the little girl said, "Daddy, can two girls get married when they grow up?" And the father said to her, "Yes, dear. Our state, our country, says that they can. That's in the laws. But we're Christians, and the Bible says two things about marriage. One is that marriage is between a man and a woman. And the second thing is that Christians should marry in the Lord should only marry Christians. Oh, all right, Dad, she said, quite happy with his answer. I thought that was very wise. Didn't give the child a great long lecture. Didn't ridicule or show contempt for people of different views. And yes, in our society, there is such a thing as gay marriage. It's legal. But we as Christians, if we follow God's word, we recognize that there are other laws. My friend said, I'm sure that over the years, the questions will get tougher and more detailed. But do you see the importance of what Jesus said in teaching his disciples to teach us all? You have heard it said. This is what's being said, but I say unto you. And the great challenge that faces Christians is Jesus the King? Is Jesus the teacher? Or is it the culture, the society in which we live? The last thing I wanted to say on this, Jesus wants us not just to know the truth, but to live it out and be inspired by it. You see, knowing about Jesus is not just a matter of sort of head knowledge. Oh, this Jesus is a great teacher. We respect him, we love him, yeah. But boy, even though Jesus is in the boat, when the wind and the waves come up, we're terrified. And Jesus says, you haven't learnt. You haven't taken the lesson. It hasn't reached your nerves. It hasn't reached your blood pressure. It hasn't reached your panic button. It hasn't reached your fear, whatever part of us does that. Maybe in your mind, if he sat Peter down on a nice, calm, sunny day and said, Peter, do you think I'm an important person? Oh, of course, Lord. Yes, yes, I know this. But in a boat, in a storm, panic takes over. And Jesus said you need to learn in a way that affects your whole life. I've already prayed for it, and I won't belabor you more. Our televisions and things have been full of the news since Thursday's referendum. Many people are afraid of what is happening in our country. It's hard to know when you get old whether it's wisdom that's filling your mind or cynicism. Personally, I'm not sure that whatever the politicians do makes that much difference. But that's probably my foolishness and my blindness. What I do know, and I want you to remember, is this, that our God reigns. And Psalm 46 that talks about the hills being cast into the midst of the sea, the kingdoms and the nations roaring. The Lord is among us. And the Lord will keep us. God may be doing, I pray that God is doing something to bring our nation back to him. Maybe this is some shaking of the nation that will change people's basic self-centered thinking. I don't know what God is doing. But I do know that God is doing his will. And as Christians at a time like this, we have to say, Lord, this isn't what we were expecting, this isn't what we're praying for, or we don't know what's going to happen next. Fear has been aroused, and all sorts of dire predictions are being made, and hateful things are being said. Lord, help us to look to you and to say, the Lord reigns, the Lord is in the boat, and we need not be afraid. We will not be afraid. Have you learnt Jesus to that extent? So we teach our children and we live out. You see, our children will learn not just when we sit with them and say, let me teach you a story about Jesus. But when they sit at the dinner table with us and listen to the way we talk in a crisis like this. When they see how we respond in difficult and trying and testing situations. They will learn Jesus from us if they see Jesus in us at that time. And we want them to be inspired by what they learn. We want them to see that not just it's nice to know the stories about Jesus, but we want them to see that Jesus is the most amazing person. And believing in Jesus opens up whole vistas and horizons for us in our short lives here on earth to do the most amazing things for him, things that really matter. There's a story about Steve Jobs, you know, the man who invented Apple and iPads and all those things. Well, he was, when he started Apple, he was trying to recruit somebody with business experience to manage the company under him. And he knew of somebody who'd just been appointed to a very high and very well-paid position with Pepsi Cola. And Steve Jobs went to try and recruit him to do a less well-paid job in a little company that nobody had heard of called Apple. And Steve Jobs said this to him: "Do you want to spend the rest of your life producing colored fizzy water? Or do you want to change the world?" And he got him. And the rest, as they say, is history. But Christians can say something like that to their children even more. Do you want to, you know, go to university so that you can get a better salary afterwards? And do you want to get a better salary so that you can buy a nice house where you want and feel you living the good life? Is that what life is about? Do you want to spend the rest of your life chasing a bank balance? Or do you want to change the world with Jesus? It's wonderful that Chris Davidson is being licensed to preach. That's really a big step. It means he's passed his college course and he's open then to being called to be a minister of the church, a minister of the gospel. That's wonderful. A lad from here, a lad from our church, giving his life, training to be a minister of the gospel. Maybe some of our kids from the Sunday school will be ministers or family workers or missionaries, or maybe whatever they do for a day-to-day living and a salary, they'll be real leaders and workers in the church and cause of Jesus Christ. Let's have some vision and some inspiration, and may God bless the teaching that's given to our children. So pray for their teaching, do all you can to help it, and keep on studying in Jesus' Sunday school yourself.